ago was supposed to change life for the Mets fan. Usher in a new era of sustained excellence, and after 6 years, I've been left with a clown car of a baseball team and an owner I wish never rode in on his high horse. What's up? This is EJ Stewart on the Fan, EJ After Dark, rocking with you for the next 5 hours. We've got a ton to get to on this morning's show, including why, unfortunately, I'm having to make a royal pivot to embracing the king, the Yankees' latest sliding, why it is yet another indictment on the organization, and the New York cat with nine lives who has the best chance to change his outlook in this city. Number to call in, 888-808-1019. Let's get it. I don't know if Steve Cohen has buyer's remorse. When you listen to that conversation he had on the podcast with Joel Sherman on New York Post Sports, it sounds like maybe he does in some instances, and we'll get to that a little bit later. I don't know if he has buyer's remorse, but I do. Now, let me be clear. I am no sports owner. I will never be a sports owner. I won't ever have Steve Cohen's bank account. I won't ever have Steve Cohen's portfolio. Or his lavish lifestyle. I won't ever own a baseball team. But as a sports fan, there is an emotional buy-in you pour into an organization. You spend whatever disposable income you have on tickets to a game or team gear. You spend hours out of your day to watch the team play every day. You waste breath at the water cooler telling your friends why your team is worth the time you're giving them. And it's a belief that you put behind individuals that one day, just like as I sit here with the New York Knicks championship hat after years of pain, that one day there's that belief in those individuals that they will repay you for that buy-in, the emotional buy-in, with some level of competence. I bought in fully that things would change for the better when Steve Cohen got here. And I sit here today on July 3rd at 12:02 a.m. in New York City, and I feel like a fool. Because things have never been worse here. And I've been watching the Mets for a long time. Things have never been worse. To the point where I think the Mets would have actually been better off if Steve Cohen never bought the team. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. The Mets enter the July 4th holiday weekend, 15 games below 500. They enter this July 4th weekend, 15 games out of first place. They are currently a team that is on pace to lose 95 games this season. And listen, we can pour over how we got to this point. You're more than welcome to do that at 888-808-1019. That is 888-808-1019. But I think the level of disgust comes from, to me, a lack of a clear direction or plan for how to turn things around for the future. I mean, again, the Mets owner went on a podcast with Joel Sherman and John Heyman and seem just as confused and befuddled as all y'all about how things have gotten so bad. And it appears that some of the only reasons why things have changed just a little bit over the last few weeks for this Mets team, or why things won't change in the future for this Mets team, are because of optics. Nothing to do with baseball. Carlos Mendoza has to be fired because he has to sit in front of cameras all day and answer for the crap that you put out on the field. But David Stern, he has to stay in his job purely because, well, otherwise, other people may not want to work for me if I fire this guy. These are not baseball reasons. To say we got to fire this guy because I feel bad that he has to sit in front of a camera every day and speak for this nonsense, that's not a baseball reason to move on from a manager. To say I can't fire my general manager or my president of our baseball operations because I don't know if someone else is going to want to take a job with me ever again is not a baseball reason to decide to keep somebody. we're not talking baseball anymore when it comes to Steve Cohen and how he is approaching this team and the lack of answers coming from him as to how this thing's actually going to get turned around. I don't know how it leaves you any confidence. And it's really sickening. We're going to hear plenty of sound from Steve Cohen tonight because when I listened to this podcast yesterday, the amount of record-scratching comments I heard from this Mets owner about how he feels about owning the team, how he has felt about watching them this season, some of the nonsense that has gone on over the last few years with his superstar players. I mean, these were actual record-scratching moments. But when I sit here and I think about that emotional buy-in that I talk about, that buyer's remorse that I have, I feel in many ways that it comes almost entirely from a lot of the braggadocious coming in on the white horse, I'm going to be the difference kind of nonsense we heard from Steve Cohen when he bought this team. The amount of times I had to hear Steve Cohen on this podcast remind everybody that he is not a baseball guy, which is insane to me to keep saying because you own a baseball team. What kind of security or what kind of insurance am I supposed to have or am I supposed to feel better about in terms of evaluating your time as Mets owner by you explaining the reason why you can't be looked at for answers as to why things are going poorly is that you are not a baseball guy. The comment looks even more crazy to me when you also take into consideration this is the same man who, when he rode in on his high horse and came to New York and said that he was going to own this team and said they were going to do all these things, he said they were going to win a championship within 5 years. The guy who's not a baseball guy 6 years ago was sure enough 6 years ago, having never owned a baseball team, that he was going to come in, they'd win a championship within 5 years, they'd be competing for titles within three. So when I think about this emotional buy-in, a lot of it comes from him, and a lot of it comes from what he sold us, which was a complete bill of goods. The Steve Cohen era as Mets owner has been a complete and utter flop. It's something I've said here on WFAN for, at this point, years now. And I got heat for it. I had you calling me saying, how could you say that? I said, I don't know the difference between this and the Wilpon era. I had people basically wanting to curse me out on this station. And I ask you again today, as the team is 15 games below 500, 15 games out of first place, how does it look any different than what happened in the Wilpon era? Why? Because there's a couple more high-priced guys here than usual? What's the difference between Jason Bay and Bo Bichette? I don't know. I don't see any. What's the difference between some of these guys that have come over and we thought were going to be game-changing players and turned out to be busts? I saw the Wilpons do that. Yes, was there penny-pinching efforts that made it seem like the team was working one hand tied behind their back? Sure. But when it comes to the level of incompetence, the product of what I'm seeing on the field, is there any actual tangible difference when you watch the Mets play night in and night out? If God help you, if you are watching this crap night in and night out, is there any tangible difference from the product on the field? There's none, man. And when I think about that early Steve Cohen braggadocio and some of the nonsense about we're going to come in and we're gonna win a title in 5 years and because I'm a fan, I'm bringing a different perspective. That should have been a warning sign to all of us. Because this crap ain't easy, man. It's not easy to win a championship. And maybe I have a different perspective and a viewpoint because I am a Knicks fan. I do sit here rocking this official Knicks championship hat, still in my Knicks glory as them being the reigning NBA champions right now. And maybe it's giving me a different level of clarity and an increased level of frustration with how just naive Steve Cohen sounded when he came here. To come in and just say, oh, we're going to win a championship in 5 years, like it's easy to win titles in major professional sports. I mean, it was a slap in the face. It was a slap in the face to the sport of Major League Baseball. I think it was a slap in the face to the fans because this was not a promise that this man, in terms of his managerial abilities, was ever going to be able to accomplish. And now I sit here, forget about winning a championship within 5 years. I don't know if the Mets are ever going to win a title with this guy as the owner. Because some of the things I heard on this podcast with Joel Sherman and with John Heyman, I don't know how you look at that and say that, oh, no, this guy, he has it all buttoned up. He knows where this direction is going. He says the general manager, the president of the team, has to stay on the team because I got to finish out his contract. How stupid does that sound? I've been watching sports for a long time. I've been doing shows on The Fan now for, 4 years? Very blessed to be doing so. I'm very blessed to be back here this evening or this morning. I've never heard a guy who 2 years into a contract and the owner guarantee he's going to complete his contract 2.5 years out for and no reason other than, well, we can't just keep firing guys. You had no problem just firing Billy Epler. You had no problem firing Buck Showalter. You just fired Carlos Mendoza. The buck stops now at the guy that turned a team that was an NLCS runner-up into one of the worst teams in baseball. That's where the buck stops. No pun intended. I know I mentioned Buck Showalter. That's where the buck stops. It doesn't stop at the various managers you fired. It doesn't stop at the various general managers you fired who, in almost all instances, have performed better in their jobs despite all their shortcomings. They've all performed better at their jobs than David Stearns ever has at his job. But this is where the line has to be drawn, where David Stearns is the one that needs to be protected, and he is the one that we cannot move on from, because otherwise, well, the rest of baseball will make me look like a fool. Newsflash to Steve Cohen, you already look like a fool. You already look like you don't know what the hell you're doing. You already look like, as you keep saying, that you are not a baseball guy. So the fact that you're going to sit there and say that this is too early a time for evaluation, that we need to let guys play out their contracts, it leads me to feel like, man, like, say what you want about other owners, other people who run sports franchises. I don't think I'd be hearing this kind of nonsense from somebody else. And I don't care about Steve Cohen's bank account at this point in time. Why should I? What has it gotten me? What, it got me Juan Soto? Guy who gets here, immediately can't get along with people, can't come up with a big hit in a crunch time situation. What has it gotten me? It didn't allow me to keep Pete Alonso here. I was told that, listen, because you got a big bank account, the great players that are here, they should be able to stay. Yeah, I see Pete Alonso wearing black and orange for the Orioles, and I got Edwin Diaz wearing Dodger blue. What has this big bank account, and what has this gotten me? It didn't get me Shohei Ohtani. It didn't get me Kyle Tucker. I mean, I don't know how many times I've seen Steve Cohen since he became Mets homer be completely, utterly embarrassed when it came to high volume, high leverage negotiations. So he tells me he's not a baseball guy. The money that he has spent has been spent on people who are not making differences here or making things worse. Because Bo Bichette is making things worse. Luis Robert can't get on the field. There are a lot of guys on the team, the money that's been spent, that hasn't made things better. They've actually made things worse. Max Scherzer made things worse when he was here. You're not a baseball guy. You're bringing in people in who don't make a positive impact. You're unable to secure the kind of talent necessary for guys who would make a positive impact, like a Yamamoto, like a Shohei Ohtani, like a Kyle Tucker, all guys playing in Dodger Blue and winning championships. So the money hasn't gotten me anything. So what have I gotten with Steve Cohen as the owner of the Mets that I should somehow feel still grateful for? What, I get a Mets Old Timers Day? All right, David Wright, one of my all-time favorite athletes, gets his number up in the rafters. All right, man, that's a beautiful thing. I love David Wright. All right, and I love Keith Hernandez getting the respect that he's well been owed from this organization. All right, cool, that's fun. One day a year, I'll get to relive the glory days, which is what I'm tired of, man. Like, the one thing about the Knicks championship win that I think I also didn't, that didn't dawn on me just how much it would impact me, was how much, and not in a negative way, but how much I was able to kind of let go of so many of the great Nick moments that were that only preceded heartbreak. Like, in my office where I record my podcast, 40 Days and Counting, and Orange and Blue Bloods, I have a picture of Allen Houston and his game winner against the Miami Heat in 99 in the first round, Game 5. And it's, to me, it's one of the first, like, really big moments for me as a sports fan where it was just pure euphoria, and it felt like, as a sports fan, I saw a sports miracle happen. And it's one of the most powerful sports moments of my life, and it's why when I moved out of my parents' house and I got to, you know, actually, you know, this, you know, kind of like decorate my own space, that was one of the pictures I felt like I had to have on my wall. And after the Knicks won that title, and I went there, and I'm like almost having a panic attack because of just the level of excitement. I didn't know what to even like do after the Knicks won a title. And I sit behind that camera, I sit behind that microphone in my office, and I see that picture, and I said, "Wow, I actually could let this go." Like, this is not that I will never, it will always be special to me, and it's always going to be a moment that I'll cherish forever. I'm still going to talk about it with my future kids and all that stuff. But, like, I realized that I had to hold on to these moments because it's the closest thing I would have to any kind of championship euphoria. Like, I didn't have anything. So I had to watch that picture every day, not, and kind of block out the bad memories of, you know, the fact that, well, they would go on to lose in the NBA Finals. Or, you know, when I think about the Larry Johnson four-point play, I had to block out, well, the next year they actually would go on to lose to Indiana in 2000. You know, like with the Mets, again, with Steve Cohen, it's like, well, again, you get an old-timers day, you get a, you know, this day, that. Okay, cool, I get to relive glory days that I'm looking to move past now. Like, I'm tired of, no disrespect to David Wright, to Keith Hernandez, to Carlos Beltran. I don't want to talk about those guys anymore. Like, I love the fact that I get to relish as a Knicks fan talking about the heroes of today. I get to talk about the greatness of OG Anunoby. I get to talk about the greatness of Karl-Anthony Towns. I get to talk about the greatness of Jalen Brunson, of Mike Brown, of Leon Rose. I get to see history in the making. I don't have to hold on to legacies of the past. But with the Mets, that's all I got. All I have is grainy video of the 86 Mets and what they did before I was born, of an Andy Chavez catch that turned out to be a gut-wrenching loss anyway. This is all I got. And I got to keep celebrating that because Steve Cohen knows damn well how to throw a party when it comes to celebrating the past for a team that doesn't have many bright moments. But I'm telling you right now, 888-808-1019, when you look at the future of this team, you hear your owner say, "Farm system, man, don't look good. How many games are going to play next year? Don't look good. What are we going to do if there's a salary cap? I don't really know." How do you look at this and say, "Man, I'm glad this guy is still running the team. I'm glad this still is the guy is still the owner." And it pisses me off, man. It pisses me off because, again, I had that emotional buy-in like you did. We were all yelling Uncle Stevie. We were all yelling King Cohen. We were all yelling the city's under new management. We look like idiots. We look like complete fools. It's ironic, you know, one of the big things happening outside of sports right now is Love Island. My wife is a diehard reality TV fan, and because now the Knicks are gone, well, she's got the TV at night, and Love Island, it was on the TV most of the night because, I mean, I'm going to subject myself to watching this crappy team play every day. And I'm watching these, you know, women who are being suckered by these players who, you know, playing both sides of the fence with multiple women. And all these women feeling bad because, like, I feel like a fool. These guys are playing in my face and I'm sitting there talking about how I love them and, oh, that my life has changed. And everything is looking up. Things are looking for the better for me because I found this guy. And now they're all embarrassed because on national TV they see these guys ain't worth nothing. That's how I feel as a Mets fan. I was around talking about city under new management. I was talking about look at Steve Cohen, the money he's spending. He's not going to outspend the Yankees. This is going to be a new era. I said that before this season, that this is going to be the test for the Mets to show that they are going to usher in a new era of competence. And in fact, all they are incompetent. And I feel like a fool. I feel like I've been played in my face. And I feel like a sucker. But the truth of the matter is, the real sucker is the guy that runs this damn team. Because he's the guy with this bank account. He's the guy with all the resources. And this is the best he can do. A guy with the resources to put together a team like the Harlem Globetrotters, but a team that plays like the Washington Generals. It's a complete laughing stock, and it's a disgrace. I don't know how you sit there and say that I'm happy this guy is still the owner. If all my sports, there's a lot of things I would love to change in my sports life. If I had the rules of a sports god and I could change one thing right now within the last 6 years of watching New York sports, the one thing I would change, I would make sure Steve Cohen wasn't the owner of this team. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to sit here and say I wanted 6 more years of the Wilpons, but assuming they were willing to sell, I would have hoped they would have sold to somebody else. Because I think I could have done a better job running this team with Steve Cohen's bank account that he did. 888-808-1019 is number to call. So I want to hear from you, Mets fans. I want to hear from you in New York City, New Jersey, Connecticut, Tri-State area, wherever you are in North America, listen on the Odyssey app. Should you have buyer's remorse? That emotional buy-in you had into Steve Cohen's tenure as a New York Mets owner, now that you've seen it 6 years in, now that you see a team that is 15 games below 500, now that you see a team that is on pace to lose 95 games this year, do you wish he wasn't owning the team? Do you wish someone else was running this show? That's how I feel right now. I want to hear from you. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. And of course, it's two rules. Anytime EJ Stewart's on the mic, there's always two rules to remember, and they're always important. Number one, I'm always keeping it 100. Number two, I'm ducking no smoke. So if you want to call in 888-808-1019. But of course, it is past midnight. You might be at the job. You might be at the club. It's a holiday weekend. Maybe you're with your girl. Maybe with your guy. Whatever the case may be. And maybe it's not quite convenient to make a phone call. I totally understand that. But that does not mean you can't participate in this show. You can hit me up on social media. Hit me up on X. EJ_Stewart. And let me know. Do you wish Steve Cohen did not buy the Mets? You can hit me up on X. EJ_Stewart. You can hit me up on Instagram, @ActionEJ, and let me know. Because I sat here today thinking about how I wanted to encapsulate my frustration with this Mets dumpster fire. And all I could think about was how it feels somehow worse now than it did before Steve Cohen bought the team. And feeling like there's really no way out of this mess. So I want to hear from you. Call in 888-808-1019 or hit me up on X, EJ_Stewart. We got a lot to do this morning. Again, we're going to get into plenty of Knicks stuff. I got a lot to say about the Knicks. We're going to talk about the Yankees as well because I got to eat some crow. The thing about being on the fan consistently and then stepping aside, you know, I got married, as my great friend Anthony Gallo mentioned before I came on, had a wedding, I was out of town. But the great thing about, maybe not so great thing for me, is when you're away from the mic for a while, things that you said get to play out in a certain way, and you can't even like respond or talk about what's going on. I feel like I said some things about the Yankees and how I thought things were going to go, and they have not gone how I thought they would over the last 3 or 4 weeks since I've been gone. So we're going to adjudicate that as well. We're going to take some blame and dish out some blame on that. So we got a lot to get to on this show, including we're going to get into all the nonsense that Steve Cohen said on that podcast. But there was one thing he said on that podcast for New York Post Sports I actually think he was vindicated by in a way that I didn't expect. I'm mad he said it. I don't think he had to air out this kind of dirty laundry. But I heard this and I said, He might have been right about one thing. We'll get to that as well. It is EJ Stewart on the Fan. Regulators, mount up.